Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly on the 14th of September 2023. I'm your host, Barry Gallagher. And as always, I'll go to the main man first this week since I made a faux pas last week. It's Christopher Sermani. How are you?
Listen, we all make mistakes, Barry. Normal service resumed this week. I'm good, although we're recording on Zoom tonight and I turned up at Christopher Gallagher's house, chapping his windows and his doors. Screaming blue murder because I didn't read the text properly. So I'm back up the road and we're recording just now. So great to be here.
I was going to say, thank God it was you, Samani, because you do live in close proximity to Gal's house. If it were me and Alan, God knows by the time we started recording, we'd probably have to write it off. And Alan, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Just keen to see the curtain twitching that will be going on in Canvas Lang tonight, the leafy part of Canvas Lang. Seen a ruffian banging at somebody's door. So, not all good, mate. Looking forward to this and what a great start when I seen that in the group chat as well. That was just gravy after a long working day.
Definitely. We always say on podcasts off to a great start, but I think that's probably the best one ever. Probably similar to the one I remember we recorded at your house one time and I went to the wrong door and you said, just come to the side door.
Yeah, so, talking about in somebody's back garden.
That's it. A wee bit of news to start us off this week that sort of came out today, or the details of it came out in greater detail, was that Leo Abada is going to be out for 3 to 4 months as a result of a shooting incident at training, according to Rodgers. Kind of devastating news, I would say, excuse me, and the fact that the amount of injuries we already have, I know that Abada's maybe not everybody's favourite player, but I think he's kind of cemented that right-hand side of the front three this season. And we've often said how much of an impact Brendan Rodgers can have on wingers. And he was probably one that, I think Rodgers commented today, was really looking forward to working with to help improve. Come to yourself, Alan, how do you take that news and what can we kind of do to counter that?
I think the overriding emotion is just frustration, because this weekend probably would have been the first opportunity to have proper competition in that wide area with Maeda, Abada, Palmer and Yang. And it would have been interesting to see, you know, the manager would have had the option of probably sticking with the same, given obviously Palmer in international duty and, you know, Yang was the same as well. I think he would have probably have given the start to the guys that have been in there, but it would have been good to see when he went to the options. It would have given you an idea of, you know, who was maybe next in line, what we would maybe do on Tuesday night. Whereas I think now it's going to have to accelerate that. And I think for Palmer, we talked on the pod last week, I think what it does is we talked about the type of player he was, the amount of football he's played, the age he's at. He's an experienced player that you would expect him to come in and hit the ground running a little bit quicker probably than Yang. And I think it's going to have to accelerate that now. So it's frustrating. It's another injury. It's another long-term injury. You know, you'll be in 2024 before you see Abada again. So it's just really disappointing. And it's just continuing a theme that really since, what, early August we've really been dealing with. So, immensely frustrating.
So, Manny?
Yeah, much the same. I mean, Abada's, you know, he's a player who frustrates me at times. However, you know, he was the first choice on the right-hand side of that front three. And you're now kind of chasing your tail a wee bit in terms of what's going to happen there. Because in terms of natural right-sided players there, you've got him, you've got James Forrest, who I think everybody believes is kind of in the kind of twilight of his Celtic career, and he's not somebody who you're going to rely on to play regularly. And I think you've got Marco Tilio there, who is a complete unknown, you know, only played in the Australian A-League, so it's hard to gauge, although, you know, some of the reports are promising, it's hard to gauge, you know, if he's going to make that step up, or even if he's going to make that step up quickly, if you know what I mean. So it is a bit of a blow, same as Alan. It's just another injury. It's entirely frustrating because, you know, we've all got question marks over the recruitment that we made, but that's made even harder when you add in the fact that the established players we've got, quite a number of them have been out. So it's not good. It's a bit of a blow. It does give an opportunity for some of the other players to kind of maybe step up and you know, take that jersey. But at the same time, you are then starting to think about, you know, shoehorning left-sided players onto the right, which isn't ideal, but not much we can do about it now.
Yeah, Rodgers was asked today at the sort of press conference about the bad luck, as they put it, in terms of injuries that we've had. And as you say, Alan, it does seem to be excessive, even by our standards, who it seems over the years we do tend to have a lot of injuries at the same time. But just a kind of quote from there, Rodgers said he'd rather have it now. When we went to the game against Rangers, it was well documented about players that were missing and everything else. But really, the glue that keeps us together always in our togetherness and personality and organisation. So he's fairly philosophical about it. And I do agree to an extent that it was a sort of siege mentality in terms of rallying the troops for injuries, but obviously you'd rather do without it. That kind of leads into a question from Paul Dines, one of the listeners, who said, now that Abada is out, is it time for Mikey Johnson to come back and steal the hearts and minds of the haters? So, Manny, I know that you've got a love affair with Mikey Johnson.
Love affair's a bit strong, Barry, but I've maybe stuck with Mikey Johnson longer than a lot of people have. I think that's just because from a very early age, you could see the raw talent that he's got. You know, you can still see that. It's just, you know, what is he, 24 now? I think he's too old to be young, shall we say now. So it's, I'm not hopeful in terms of Mikey Johnson kind of having a long-term future or career at Celtic. But there is an opportunity here, I suppose. That's the thing about it. You know, when you've got a player, you know, of Abada's kind of standing out in terms of, generally speaking, where we are just now, being the first choice in there, you know, that does open up. So, yeah, okay, I'm actually going to backpedal on that. Mikey Johnson is going to nail that starting spot down, and he's going to light up the SPFL. Small asterisk after that, but we'll leave it at that.
Alan?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what the manager does on Saturday. Again, I think this Saturday, I think it's going to have a bit of a caveat on it, because some players have travelled quite a bit post-international duty, and I think you'll be very wary. You've only got 2 days as well, really. You've only got Sunday and Monday between Tuesday night. So I think you're going to have to really think about those two games together, as opposed to just saying two standalone games, which you would normally do. I think off the back of an international break, a lot of players haven't travelled. Some players haven't played a minute yet. So I think you might see someone over the next couple of games. I would think, though, that Palmer would come in. I think he's shown that he's impressed with Yang, and that he's obviously quite keen to get him in and get him minutes. I think he would probably be going quite a bit down that pecking order if I think Mikey Johnson was to come back in. I think what probably Mikey Johnson and James Forrest might have is that they have probably a knowledge of the system and an understanding of exactly what the manager wants to do. And that's something that was discussed a lot in the lead up to Ibrox. That might put one of them in kind of good favour for Saturday coming. I think, though, when you talk about bigger games, tougher away games, Champions League games, I don't think it would be Brendan Rodgers' preference to go with either James Forrest or Mikey Johnson, however respectful he is in the media.
Manny, you wanted to come back in there?
Yeah, I think these guys will get minutes. They'll get opportunities of minutes in certain games. Now, the only way that they can, you know, kind of differ from what Alan's suggesting would be to really grab those minutes. You know, we've talked about guys like David Turnbull last season, you know, coming on, not grabbing the jersey, not impressing. That's what they're going to need to do. Now, Forrest is unlikely to because of his age, etc. So, you know, there will be an opportunity for guys like Mikey Johnston to get minutes. I think absolutely that will be a doubt he would start on Saturday. But if, you know, we go a few goals up and we're kind of seeing it out, it's entirely possible that he'll give him some game time. He's really got to grab that, though. Really got to. Otherwise, you're going to find him slipping even further down the pecking order. So, it's unlikely, you know, that much is going to change. But I do get the impression Rodgers rated Johnson at one point. I think most Celtic managers have, to be honest. I mean, even Ange, when he first came in and he spoke about him, you could tell there was a frustration, and this was very early on in his kind of his tenure. There was a frustration about Johnson because of the raw materials that he possesses, but his inability to put that together and stay fit. So I do think he'll get another roll of the dice to an extent, but that's going to be up to him to kind of grab that with both hands, as opposed to him featuring or being a main part of his plans at the moment.
Definitely, and that sort of leads us into a sort of broader discussion then of the Champions League squad being finalised earlier this week. Some of the notable omissions that we can maybe discuss are Narotsky due to injury, Marco Tilio, as we've mentioned, Bernabe, Kobayashi, Kwon and Sigrist. Alan, when you saw that squad being published, I know it was kind of eagerly anticipated because of the sort of regulations and stuff with the homegrown and home-trained players. We were always going to be sort of looking to see who would miss out. Is there any surprises there for you, or anyone that you maybe would have liked included but hasn't made it?
I was probably concerned about Iwata, so I was pleased that he made the squad, because I think we've seen what he's capable of. He has a kind of element of versatility. I think it was always going to be that one of the injured centre halves was going to have to miss out. And I think just by the time period of injury and the length of time he's been at the club, I think Navrotsky was the unfortunate one, because he might well be available maybe for the last two, maybe even the last three games. But just in terms of sheer volume, I don't think there was the option to carry that many injured players. It would have left you short potentially in midfield or attack. So I think it was largely as expected. I think what it was to a lot of people, myself included, I think it was quite galling. I think it was quite galling, the amount of players that we've brought in that just aren't, you know, even with, you know, you've got a bit of a headache trying to pick 25, but we've got a big squad of players that we've spent money on, in the last 18 months that aren't kind of making it. And I think it's a frustration. I think everyone as well probably looked at it and thought, in 2 years' time, we're going to have a real problem with the homegrown element as well. The club-trained element, we've been extremely, you know, we've been quite lucky there. We've brought through some really good players, so maybe not just out of luck. I think it highlights to me that we always need to be alert to young Scottish talent, and that anyone excelling in our league, you know, at 16, 17, 18, has to be someone that the club are really aware of. And almost just as a player trading model, you're always looking to secure that talent in early stage. There's a couple of those players just now in Scotland that I think there's big conversations about, and I don't see a name in and around. And I just think it should be something that the club are always alert to, because I think it is going to be a challenge. But it was, it was a bit galling seeing some of the names left out. You know, Bernabe, Kwon, I didn't expect him to make it. But just when you see these guys sitting out, I think it just shows you how far out the picture they are. And we do have some parts of the squad that are quite weak. So, yeah, it's a bit disappointing. It's the same kind of frustration as when I was talking about Abada's injury. It would be nice to go into the Champions League campaign, match day one, match day two, three, four, any of them. It would be nice to go into them with a largely fully fit squad of the players that the manager recruited and that were there before, so that you could properly assess where we're at. And I think, to be honest, it's going to be extremely difficult to do that. I think match days 1 to 3, and hopefully we can be positive and we can have some really good results there. But it doesn't feel like we're going in with anywhere near our strongest squad or our strongest fit squad, and I think that's really difficult. So yeah, that was the thing that kind of stood out when I seen the 25 that made it.
Yeah, I think the point you made as well, because from the summer signings, obviously Narotsky's a wee bit different because of the injury, but the likes of Tilio and Kwon, the fact that they're missing out, I think that, see, if we'd got the recruitment that we all sort of expected, where it was sort of players who were going to come in and command places straight away, then I think it makes it a wee bit more palatable when squad players miss out. But the fact that we're still pretty unsure of the levels of the players that we have, and I think you can maybe stomach that a wee bit more if the squad was a lot stronger in some areas. So, Manny, any notable things for you, or anything that you're surprised about?
Not really. I think there's the players that have been left out, you know, there's an explanation for it, if you know what I mean. An obvious explanation, just in terms of balancing the squad, in terms of where they are and you know, as first team picks. What it does is it underlines what you both just talked about the weaknesses in some area of the park. But I think the key thing about this is how it's going to affect our transfer dealings in terms of going forward, because historically we've always signed, and Rangers as well, we've always signed stronger players from other clubs in the country. That's not happened so much recently. And we're a bit sniffy about it. Now, two examples of that would be Aaron Hickey and it would be Ryan Porteous. Now, Hickey, I think a lot of people now are in, you know, have a belief that he's a fine player and maybe we missed out on him. You know, he's not a superstar or anything like that, but we could have got him for decent money and, you know, you could see the level he's operating at just now. There's probably another argument of whether he would have got the game time with us and developed, but Porteous, you know, he's never a guy I particularly wanted. However, I don't think he's a bad player. And you do have to, especially if we're going to be looking to compete in the Champions League, you really have to be mindful of Scottish players and, you know, in terms of your recruitment and in terms of balancing the squad, because the rule isn't going anywhere. And you're going to get into a position, if your recruitment is only out with that kind of market, you're going to bring players in, and then it's entirely feasible that in further campaigns, you're going to be looking at that squad and you're going to be dropping guys who are even more important to the first team and to the broader squad. So it really is something that we're going to need to turn towards pretty urgently in terms of kind of trying to do something about that, because it's pretty apparent this year.
I think on that, one of the things it's, we talked about it a lot, I think maybe with the Hickey transfer, with a couple of others, I think it used to be that kind of time period that you're talking about where we used to kind of take that talent from other teams in the league. We used to be able to use the top tier here as a kind of proving ground and give guys anything from 12 months to maybe 2 years, maybe even 3 years, to see, can they handle it? How are they improving? How much further are they likely to improve? We used to be able to kind of rely on all these things, then go in and pick off talent from other teams in the league. I think now what you're seeing is that the landscape of football has changed so much that actually if a player is a good 6 months, and I mean by a good 6 months, I mean they're a standout player, they're young, at any other club in the league, there is a question as to whether there's two things. One, whether we have the pool in terms of financial pool to attract those players to us, and B, whether we are willing to go out and spend the money. Because I think we are far more inclined as a club to go and spend £4 million in any other league in the world than we are in Scotland. We did it with Scott Brown, it worked out very well. We've did it with David Turnbull, obviously that's still very much in progress. But I think you look at some of the players now, you know, you look at Ramsey from Aberdeen, he was out with our reach very, very quickly because he was standing out, you know, to such an extent. And I think it's the same with potentially the boy at Motherwell, Lennon Miller as well. Teams are watching him across Europe because he's, what, 17 years old and he's standing out as a player that, you know, looks as if he's been playing 4 or 5 years in the league. I think we really need to, Celtic need to adapt to that, and instead of waiting a year, they need to look at players and think, he's a standout, you know, he's a at an age where he's going to continue to develop, and you really need to think, should we be buying these players and loaning them back for maybe a year and allowing that development to happen and just using it almost as a, you know, almost out with potentially whoever the manager is. We say, as our club policy, that we go and buy standout players in the league, and some of them will really work and some of them won't work, but it's a necessity as opposed to something else. And I think there's a real question as to whether I think that we have the appetite to do that. And again, whether we've got the pool to do it, I don't think it is the case. 10 years ago, if Celtic wanted to go and buy a player from Hibs, you just went and did it and that was it. I think now, if they're standing out in the league and they're doing well, I think there's so many other suitors out there that people might actually think, well, you know, I'll go elsewhere. And that's, you know, that's a kind of bit of a worry for us, I think.
I think that's true to an extent. And I also think some of the other clubs are realising that they can increase the value of the players they've got. You know, you see, you've seen that with Ramsey in terms of you know, when Liverpool came in for them, it's almost, and Aberdeen had done the same with Scott McKenna to an extent as well. But there are still some players, and I think it's more of an attitude, not even just with the club, but with us. Kevin Nisbet's a good example. Now, you know, opinions will differ on Kevin Nisbet, right? As it stands just now, though, O might have a higher ceiling, but Kevin Nisbet isn't a worse striker than O. And I think he went, I can't remember who he went to, but it was for a couple of £1 million.
Millwall.
It was for a couple of £1 million. Now, the other examples in terms of talking about guys like Porteous or Hickey, I'm not sitting here saying I thought that they were fantastic players. I wasn't screaming and shouting for us to sign them. And I have to be honest about that. But if you're then taking into account the homegrown rule in terms of the Champions League, you start to look at these guys in a different way. Or in fact, you just have to do it. You probably just have to do it. So it might be that we would spend £2 million or £3 million on, like, O's maybe a good example. And we think that, okay, he might come in. He's not the finished article, but we can develop him. We can make him a stronger striker, and his ceiling might be much higher than Kevin Nisbet. See, in terms, though, of what they bring just now and looking forward in terms of the European requirements, it might be that we have to start to look at guys like that, you know, and we don't need to dissect all the players in Scotland, but there will be some players who go that bit higher, as you're saying, you know, the guys like Ramsey and Miller at Motherwell, but there are players who are still attainable. It might be cost us a few more quid than it used to, but in terms of your understanding of their quality domestically and looking forward, that's maybe something that we just need to start doing.
Alan?
Yeah, I think just quickly, I think that's the important thing, is to not get bogged down on individuals, because, I mean, I nearly jumped down your throat when you said Nisbet, just because I was thinking, well, we don't want him. We're much better than that, we're in the Champions League, etc. But it's about looking at it, as you say, from that almost stepping up and saying, well, everyone we buy is not going to be a starter for Celtic. But what it's about is being sharp enough and alert enough to what talent is here in the league and going out and getting it and then deciding whether you're bringing it in-house or whether you're going to allow it to develop elsewhere. And then you can pick and choose the ones that you really think are going to come at the top. And I think really just about, obviously the other alternative is actually we bring through our own players and we have a breadth of talent there, but obviously we've had an issue with it over years as well. So I think what it highlights is there is a clear need for the club to go one way or another with it. And I think over the last few years we have been at times very dismissive of a talent in the league, maybe rightly so. There's players that I would pass on, but I think there's other examples where you would look at it and say, well, you had a great player there on your doorstep. In fact, in some examples in the building, and you know, you never kind of push forward with it. So I think it's about, there's not enough of that talent out there for it just to continually slip through our fingers, because as I say, in 2-3 years, that club trained and homegrown element might not be as easy for us to fulfil.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's an interesting debate because, as you say, we seem happy to take punts on players maybe from lesser leagues or whatever, or low fee leagues. And then it's very difficult, as we've seen this summer, to move some of them on. Whereas if the players are from here, it's almost less of a risk. And if they do well, we can move them on for money. And if they don't, then they're in the country already. So I think that's something that will ramble on. And Alan, you want to come back in?
I just wanted to commend you for, because when I know there's been so many asked for the club that Kevin Nisbet went to, and it was Millwall. I just want to commend you for not doing an accent, because I know how much it was in your heart to do a proper London accent there. So you've done really well. You showed that you're rising above it, Barry.
Yes. Strictly professional in the hot seat. That's me. in terms, just to kind of round off in this squad then, so we've got a question from Troy, and he says, what's going on with Iwata? And I know, Alan, you mentioned him earlier. He doesn't make the bench for Ibrox, but he's in the Champions League squad. Does Rodgers fancy him after all, or is it just a tactical selection? Now, in terms of him not being in the squad at Ibrox, I think I'd seen somewhere that he'd a knock for that, but the point that Troy makes is a good one, I think, because he hasn't had any competitive minutes at all, I don't think. Obviously, he featured at right back in Japan and then fairly poorly in the Bilbao game. But I think across the kind of cynic, I think he's a player that most of us like. And maybe his versatility will come in handy, particularly with these injuries now, so Manny.
Yeah, I think that might have been the deciding factor, or one of the deciding factors is the fact that he can play in midfield and in defence. I mean, he's been utilised at centre-half and at right-back, not to great fanfare, shall we say, but he's came in and played and done a job there. And I know, the Bilbao games are friendly, obviously. You know, I'm not particularly comfortable with the idea of Iwata at right-back, but he has played there previously, so that versatility probably was one of the factors in terms of putting him in the Champions League squad. In terms of how, if Rodgers rates him, I don't know. I really don't. It's a strange one because, you know, last season, I think his most impressive performances for us were coming off the bench at a time when we were kind of trying to slow the game down or maybe protect a league. Because he's came on against Rangers a couple of times and done just that. Added a wee bit more control to the midfield, keeping it simple, getting the ball, was the rotate, refreshing it. I can't remember what other, you know, the patter.
Recycling
the ball, that's it. You know, doing that very well and helping us see games out, which is, from my perspective and probably some other people's perspective, is where your kind of hope in terms of him developing and becoming a player came from. But he's not had any minutes at all this season. It's quite strange because there's been times where you're thinking, you know, he could come in there and kind of bolster that midfield. But he's in there. Again, there's a number of players. It's going to be a long season, you know, if we're kind of fighting domestically and in Europe. So he'll probably get an opportunity in there and hopefully he takes it.
Yeah, I think the point that you made there about the games against Rangers, I think the one that stood out for me was the game at Celtic Park, the 3-2 game, where Aaron Moy had come back on the back of injury and he looked miles off it, didn't he?
That's right.
And then I think Iwata coming on just settled everyone down, both on the pitch and in the stand. So I think a lot of us had maybe thought that he'd been signed to sort of give us more protection in Europe. Whether that might still be the case, but I think we're going to have to see more of him domestically before we can kind of throw him in at that. Alan, I know he's a player you like. What's your kind of thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I agree with what you guys have said. I think the reason he's probably not found himself with any competitive minutes is I think it's probably his ability on the turn with the ball. I don't think he's the type of player that, you know, has that, maybe necessarily that 360 vision that maybe like a Hatate or a Callum McGregor, even Matt O'Reilly has, but he does have qualities that they don't have. And I think, you know, I think if you're looking at certain games, you guys used good examples there, sometimes you need someone to just come in and be tidy, be effective, not to give anything away. Now, that's probably a fairly limited role, but I think given what we've seen so far this season, I think there's certainly games that I would have been quite happy for him to be on the park. The same as you, Barry, I was of the understanding that he had a knock for Ibrox. But he's certainly a player that you would have been looking at in that kind of game. I thought at Kelly, when it was quite clear we were losing it in the midfield and we had no control over the game, I think he's a player that can come in and be tidy. I don't think he's spectacular, but I think he is an effective player, and I think he takes great care of himself. He's probably one of the fittest players, it looked like, in the team. And I think, I just feel like he could offer something. So if he hadn't made the Champions League squad, I think I would have been quite of the opinion that he's definitely, you know, he'll be looking to move on, because he's a player that is different from maybe other players that were brought in. He's got options. He could move on quite easily in that window there, or he could move in January. So I would be optimistic that between now and January he can, you know, play certainly a more meaningful role than he has today.
Just before you come in, Samari, the point you made there about Rugby Park, Alan, I thought the same, because another one of his kind of high points of last season was he started at Rugby Park, see the game where we won, was it 4-1? And I thought he did really well that day. There's definitely things from last season that kind of showed that he can be a player, and obviously he came with the billing of the Japanese Player of the Year, etc. So hopefully he can play his way into contention. Samari, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, it's on that. You know, he came, as you said, Japanese Player of the Year. He's come in and he's impressed. He's in a different kind of ballpark, if you will, from guys like Ediguchi and Kobayashi in terms of the kind of Japanese imports. You know, when you see kind of Kobayashi and Ediguchi, your automatic assumption is if they don't make it here, which they won't by the looks of it, they'll go back to Japan, they'll have a fine career over there. Iwata, even if he doesn't take that kind of opportunity or whatever and kind of go on to be an important player for us, I don't get the impression that, you know, it's simply he's going to go back to Japan and play in the J-League. He's a guy who, as Alan says, I think would probably have options. So I'm still hopeful that he'll feature for us and he'll be an important player for us, but time will tell.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll start to move towards the Dundee game now on Saturday, 3 o'clock at Celtic Park. Sort of team news from Rodgers' press conference today, and a big one I think that the whole support will be enthused by is that Riho Hatate is back in training. And I kind of took from it today that he's ready to play on Saturday. I don't know if that's maybe just wishful thinking. But the way that Rodgers was speaking was very encouraging. And hopefully he's over that sort of spat, if we can call it that, that he had at the start of the season with Rodgers, because I think we can all agree that he's a player that we really need, particularly in these Champions League group games coming up, that ideally you want him playing a good half to 60 minutes on Saturday. Alan, would you be throwing him straight back in if we can?
Yeah, I think I would. The only maybe thing, if you believe in him enough, if the manager believes in him enough, he might want to give him the last half hour against Dundee and then start him on Tuesday night. But I'm the same as you guys. I think we would be having a different discussion had we had a midfield three that had really set the header alight. I don't think that has been the case. I think Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly were, I thought, excellent at Ibrox. But David Turnbull's probably not taking his opportunities. It's just about how now you then kind of rejig it. But I certainly would want to see Riho Hatate back in. I think he was a standout performer for us in the Champions League last year. It looked like he belonged on the stage. And quite simply, I don't think we've got enough quality not to pick him. Now, what you do with a midfield three, how you adapt that, I think will be interesting. But I think you do fit him in. I think he's just a top talent. So I would be keen to see him on Saturday, because I think it's important that players, especially before going into what will be probably a fairly frantic game on Tuesday night, I think it is important that you get them back out there and get them playing, especially given that he didn't pick him when he was available for the first two games, or certainly didn't start him. I would imagine that everyone's had a bit of a shock, probably both the manager and the squad, maybe since that kind of first competitive home game that we had. So I think you would kind of be at the point where you say, all is forgiven, come back in, Rio, and do us a job, because we badly need it. And I'd be keen to see him on Saturday, but definitely on Tuesday night, I think when that team comes out, I'll be very hopeful that he's in there.
Yeah, I think that's the point, isn't it? That if Rodgers obviously didn't use him from the start, the two games that he was available from, if someone had really grasped the opportunity, likes a Turnbull, likes a Home, I know it's still early doors for Home, and the initial signs are promising, but I think a player of Hatate's quality, he's too good to leave out. And even if he does have sort of eyes to moving away, maybe January or next summer, this is the stage that he really needs to perform. So I think it's kind of win-win for Celtic. Manny?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not just because Riho Hatate on form is probably our best player, but because there is a big gap in there to be filled. I think, same as everybody, I thought Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly were outstanding at Ibrox. If I was carving up the Man of the Match award, it would have been McGregor first half, Matt O'Reilly in the second half. And I think at periods they were sitting deep together, and that might be something that he looks to do in Europe, you know, in terms of, what is it, 2 sixes they call it, on that pattern, Alan?
Double pivot.
So that might be it. But then you've got somebody, you'll need somebody further forward who's able to make things happen, spray passes and create, and Riho Hatate's that player. Bernardo, I'm hopeful for, and I would like to see, because you know, Hatate's just coming back from injury. Bernardo played for the under-21s, Portuguese under-21s, so it might be that he's a bit sharper, but he's a risk. You know the proven quality of Riho Hatate. So for me, I would really like to see both of them on Saturday get some game time, because that lets you understand what you're going into on Tuesday night in terms of your midfield three. Far more comfortable that we've now got more options in there. Holmes, a guy who I've liked the look of. but you're not in a position where you're saying you're going to be the third man in there as it stands. So what you're really wanting there is Rio Hitati getting in, firing as much as he can. But I would also like to get a wee look at Bernardo just to see where he is and how he might fit in, because potentially, you know, we've got some more options in there, which is going to be huge for us in Europe.
I think the very simplistic, but it really is the hope for me, is that Rio Hitati can come in and maybe even play one of those roles that, you know, McGregor and O'Reilly, you know, can give maybe some kind of rest minutes to O'Reilly, maybe even usurp him, get proper competition in that area. But simplistically, I think what I would like is, you're hoping that Rio Hitati is a player that can help the players bring the ball out, because his ability to receive it with a player on his back, turn them, and then get the ball away is, I think, first rate. But then, as you've said, Samani, Bernardo, I think what the hope is that you get a player there who can then bind that kind of forward unit and try and create a little bit more and give you a little bit more dynamism and, you know, maybe pick up the ball in those nice areas where David Turnbull gets into. But when he gets the ball, it's an extra touch. I think that's what we need to see. I think everybody was kind of, or what we're hoping to see over the next couple of weeks, as the play gets slicker, being more comfortable playing out, more options with the ball, more guys comfortable. But then when we do get it forward into those areas, that we can be more impactful and really pick teams apart with it. So those two guys coming back in, I think, is Rio Hitati coming back in and potentially Bernardo being kind of bled in over the next couple of weeks, I think is quite exciting, because I think we do need a bit of a boost in that middle area.
Yeah, and I think even just a freshness, it's that old cliche, like it's like a new signing, but I think the fact that it seems like an eternity, even though it was, what, less than a month ago, or maybe just over a month, that Hitati got injured, but it seems a lot's happened since then. So him coming back will be much needed. In terms of other players, I know we touched on Palma. Rodgers has said today that he won't return back until Friday. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Probably looking at him being on the bench at best. And obviously, Nat Phillips did his media sort of duties this week. Looking forward to seeing him. So, Manny, do you think he comes straight into the team?
Potentially, I think he might. And he's a guy who, you know, what is he? I think he's 26, 27. Yeah. And he's spent a lot of time at Liverpool, you know, spells out on loan. Ordinarily, you look at a player like that and you think, you know, a bit of a journeyman, a guy who's kind of just kind of went through the motions. Looking at his record, though, you know, he has had some decent game time for Liverpool, especially in the season where they won the league, in terms of the injuries they had, and he's had success in his loan spells. So it might be that kind of, we've plucked a player, or we've kind of, you know, found that player that Alan actually was mentioning when he was saying it. I was like, that, very good, you know, that kind of Premier League quality player that you can get for a handful of months, you know. I've got a feeling that that might very well be it, and he might be a centre-half who's not just a backup, but he's maybe every bit as good as some of the other centre-halves we've got. Now, I would assume that Carter Vickers is, you know, he's a Premier centre-half, he's excellent, you know. You've got Lagerbielke, though, who, rough around the edges, you know, just kind of coming in, taking time to kind of settle in and develop. I do like the look of him. Some players, some fans don't, shall we say, because of some of the things that have happened. But a guy like Phillips, though, he's ready to go, you know, in terms of the experience he's got, his age, the age that he is, he's ready to go in. And as much as he's never been like a kind of first team guaranteed fixture at Liverpool or, you know, across the board, for me, he's the sort of guy who could come in and really bring on Lagerbielke, you know, given that kind of or steady head at the back to kind of bring on some of the other players. So I do get the feeling that we're going to see him feature a lot. And the fact that he's did the presser does suggest that he's definitely in the manager's plans for Saturday.
Yeah, I think the kind of, as you say, CCVs, I think by far, even when we had Starfelt, are our number one centre-half. And I know he's a wee bit older, but Phillips strikes me as a sort of similar profile. So maybe foresee a situation where those two are certainly until the January window when the loan deal will be reviewed, will be our first sort of first two. And then that allows the likes of Lagerbielke and Narotsky, when he comes back, to sort of find their way in rather than being front and centre. And I know that Lagerbielke's probably had to do that out of necessity, but it'll maybe give them a wee bit more time. And it also means that we've sort of succession planned, that if if Phillips does go back, or God forbid that CCB goes next summer, we've got two centre-halves at the club who will still have plenty of game time, you'd imagine, this year. So, Alan, what about you? Do you think that he comes straight in?
Yeah, I would be hoping so, because I think you need... I think there's a real need for some experience and a bit of cam in that area. I think that's what everyone is hoping that he will bring, just that little bit of composure. I think it'll be tough for him when you've not played a lot of football. He's been training with world-class players, which is great, and will stand him good stead to an extent, but you need to play matches, and you need to play you know, that real competitive edge. I think 90 minutes will be interesting for him, because, you know, he's not done that a lot over the last few years. So I think there's challenges for him, but I think if he does play Saturday, which I'm hoping he will, I think everyone will just be quite... I think what you're hoping for is a nice, calm, composed performance, you know, looking comfortable in the ball, maybe even a little bit of leadership there, because he's obviously been training with the group. I think that will maybe give everyone a little bit of optimism, and I think I'm very critical of the club's transfer business this year and previous years. I think a centre-half, we've been extremely unfortunate with injuries. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Having CCB, Navrotsky and Stephen Welsh all out injured is very difficult to legislate for that. And I think Lagerbielke and Navrotsky were clearly two that we identified, you know, with a bit of succession planning there. And I think they, you know, Navrotsky looked really good. Lagerbielke needs work, but no one expected him to start Ibrox. It's very difficult to criticise the club for the centre-half kind of issue that we have at the moment. So hopefully Phillips is another one that we've managed to pluck out. I think when I was speculating on that type of player, Matt Phillips wasn't one that was in my head. It was just a kind of general profile. But hopefully he can do a job for us, whether it's for the full season or whether it's over the next 3 months. It was an absolute necessity that we brought him in. So I'd be keen to see him, you know, Saturday, Tuesday as well. Very similar to Rio Tai.
Amani?
I think some people will point at Scales performance, certainly in second half against Rangers, and say, why would you take him out? I think there's no time for kind of sentimentality here, because I think we've all got concerns about Scales. I think he'll get more game time under Rodgers. I also think, though, given the lack of Burnaby in the Champions League squad, that he might be the auxiliary left back if we need to be. Now, that's not a situation that we want to be in, or we, you know, what we expected to be going into in this season. But I do think he'll get game time, but I think we might see him kind of be shuffled over to that side. I wouldn't be surprised if, again, we go a few goals up, that the manager brings him on there, just to kind of maybe give him a wee run out on the left-hand side as a full-back. So I don't necessarily, I mean, as I say, I don't think there's any time for sentimentality when it comes to this. Some people might say differently, though, but I do think that the manager's thoughts will be more kind of shuffling him over to the left. So I think that's the way we might see things.
Yeah, I think so too, because as you say, that the fact that he is in there ahead of Burnaby, and I noticed that Rodgers wasn't really drawn on, and rightly so, why he left particular players out other than Narotsky, but that makes sense to me as well. In terms of the sort of the feel-good factor that we've had since the victory at Ibrox.
For a week.
Do you think that will maybe have an impact on the atmosphere on Saturday? I know that it got kind of, probably rightly so, after the performance against St Johnstone. The atmosphere wasn't great based on what we were seeing on the park, plus how we were sort of making dealings off the park. But Alan, you would imagine that we'll 3 o'clock on a Saturday after a big victory, some new players, hopefully to see, it should make for a good spectacle.
Yeah, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit last week on here, that I think the game at Ibrox was comforting for everyone. I think because it was, probably for me, it was the first time since Brendan Rodgers came back that I think we've properly seen that actually there's magic there. He has the ability to get players to believe. He got a lot out of that squad that day. I think to kind of be as organised as they were, I thought the organisation was superb on the day. So I think everyone in the stands will have kind of taken notice of that, and I think there will be a little bit more calm. I think what you see at the weekend is when we are being patient. Granted, it's Dundee at home. I'm hoping that we'll play with a lot more energy and, you know, quality than we did in the last home game. But I think what you'll see is you see a bit more patience. I think people, myself included, when we went to the last game after Kilmarnock, we're a little bit ready to kind of get in the players' backs. And that's not, I'm not saying for a second that I went there, you know, wanting to be annoyed. But when things don't go your way, it's just natural. There's 60,000 people in that stadium. There was a lot of frustration. I think you might see that might be a little bit easier at the weekend. An early goal, a goal in the first half, some really composed and, you know, quality attacking play. I think we'd go a long way, though, to, you know, making that more comfortable. And I think given the proximity between Saturday afternoon and Tuesday night, I think it would be really good for the players as well. It would be nice to have a comfortable home win, settle everyone down and give the players a little bit of something and continue that feel-good factor, as you say, Barry. So I'm very optimistic see that on Sunday, and I think Saturday, and I think the fans will be a little bit more patient and a wee bit more positive, and include myself in that.
Yeah, just the point, as you say, we touched on it last week, but Rodgers made the point in the press conference today that in terms of players who maybe weren't familiar with the way he works, to use that phrase, he could start to see to them now that there's a platform, so this is what we can achieve together. And I think that sort of bleeds into the support as well, because as you say, Alan, there was a lot of doubt maybe creeping in that I think loads of people were probably having the conversations in the pub or at work or whatever, that Rodgers surely hasn't become a bad manager overnight, and he really needed that result. And I think in the circumstances that he got it in, because we were down to the bare bones just after the transfer window had closed, etc., it gave me hope and belief that if that's what he can do when he's not sort of playing with a full hand, imagine what he can do when we have got players back at another window or two. So, yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a good atmosphere, and I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest. We'll just sort of look ahead slightly to Feyenoord on Tuesday, because I know we've touched on it. Another couple of questions, and then we'll finish with a quiz that I'm sure you'll be both delighted about. In terms of the Champions League then, so I think, just seeing when we were talking about Real Hatate there, I think I can visualise that, the Kuip, or however you pronounce it, ground, and it just seems set up for a Real Hatate masterclass. I'm starting to get to that excited stage now. I know that the draw on paper probably is kinder than what it could have been, but you're really hoping to get points on the board. And we've got a question sort of similar from that from Paul. So he says, "Hi, Cynics. Will Brendan have a backup plan or a change in style if we, for example, go down early against Feyenoord? Or will it be a case of a lack of personnel means his options are limited?" Just to kind of reframe that question, I know we spoke last week as well about the sort of blueprint, if you will, for how we played at Ibrox. Do you think that, given Rodgers' sort of tactical nous that he's sort of displayed throughout his career, how do you think we'll approach the game on Tuesday, Sam Mary?
Difficult. going to the question, will he have another plan? If that means switching up formation or anything like that, then I don't think so. I don't think, you know, there'd been some talk in the last few weeks about 3-5-2 or something like that, adapting the personnel we've got. I don't see anything like that happening. In terms of tweaking it, I mean, I think we'll approach the game, I think it will be kind of quite cautious. We'll kind of try and get a foothold in it and kind of retain possession, but it's that patient approach, I think, is kind of a hallmark of Rodgers, in terms of kind of keeping the ball and kind of, Ange is obviously 100 miles an hour, whereas Rodgers is a wee bit more, you know, knocking on the door and kind of looking to do that. So I think we'll try and do that and kind of get a foothold and keep the ball for a bit. In terms of the personnel, though, I mean, just thinking about it, I was excited when you said that, but then you start to think about where the problems might be in the park, you know, and where the weak spots might be. So I don't know. I'm going to stop talking now because I'm starting to think about Tuesday instead of Saturday. Cheers.
one game at a time, as the players always say. Alan, what about you? Do you think that given Rodgers sort of flexibility tactically, if, heaven forbid, we do go an early goal down, do you think it's maybe something that he would like to change in game? I know that he's done that in the past.
Yeah, I think he's extremely limited, even if he wanted to, in terms of system changes. I really don't. You've not got a fit centre half probably to play with a three, so it's going to be extremely difficult to do that. I think what you might see is potentially tweaks. You might adapt to what Feyenoord are doing. You know, if they are finding particular joy or they're finding space somewhere, then absolutely. But I don't think that will be whether you go or go down. I think that's just something a coach like him sees and monitors in real time and can adjust and adapt to. I think it will be difficult. I think what you want to do is use that kind of ability to be as disciplined as we were at Ibrox and use that as a template. Now, you want to have more of the ball. You want to be more impactful when you do have the ball. But I think what you showed there was you were able to certainly not make it, you know, if you're centre half, so maybe a bit cleaner out of possession. You know, that straight ball over the top, etc. If you can tidy that up, I think what you're then challenging teams to do is unlock you with quality and be better. So I think it will be a tough game. I'm kind of similar to Samani. I think it's going to be a huge ask on the night. But there is a plan there. There is options. I think my concern really would be over what kind of ability we have to change the game going forward. If we go a goal down, I'm not necessarily as worried about if we go a goal down, what changes we make at the back. It would be what quality do you have on the bench that you can bring on to win you a game, because prior to the window closing, prior to, you know, the international break, I think there was a real dearth there and you were looking at some of the changes. You know, for example, I'm really optimistic about Yang. I think he's a phenomenal talent one-on-one. I think he's might be one of the best I've seen at Celtic Park one-on-one and beating a player. But I think what the real downside there is he's a player with very little experience. I think you've seen that when he came on at Ibrox. There's certain things you need to do in certain moments of the game, and one of them isn't trying to win cheap fouls like that when there's not really any contact. And in the Champions League, the level is just so much higher. You can make those mistakes, you know, domestically. I think Celtic, we probably make more of those mistakes than we even notice. You make mistakes like that in a Champions League game, a Champions League group stage game, they tend to cost you. And I think that's the issue. How much experience is on there? How much ability has he got on the bench that he can say, no, this player is good enough and does deserve that game time? I think that's where there's maybe a slight, a slight concern. But I'm really optimistic. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait. And we'll just need to go and be optimistic.
Manny?
I think the one thing that's not changed at all from last season is our need to take our chances, our moments of quality, anything. You know, they're going to be few and far between, you know, well, maybe not, but, you know, we will get them. You know, we will carve something out on the night, and the important thing's taking them. Kyogo, from last season's Champions League campaign to where he is just now, is a different footballer, you know, in terms of how clinical he's been in the goals that he scored in big games, but we need him to do that. And then we also need, I think you summed it up perfectly, one of the most impressive things about Ibrox was how regimented we were in the work that we did off the ball. You're going to need to do that. You're going to need to add in some luck, and you're going to need to try and limit the mistakes that we may make and hope that they don't take their moments of quality and finish for us. I'm hopeful that we can get something over there, but I really don't want to underestimate how difficult a task it's going to be, because quite rightly we've said Feyenoord is probably the best pot one team you could have got. That doesn't mean, you know, that it's going to be straightforward or anything like that. I think it's going to be a really difficult night for us. But, you know, with a good wind behind us, I think we can get something there.
Just on that, what would a positive result do for not only the fans, but the squad and the manager, Alan? I know it's obviously could be an obvious question, but just we've seen, as I've mentioned, the sort of feel-good factor after the result at Ibrox. But if we were to come away with, let's just say, a positive result, I'm not going to be greedy, but maybe closer to kick-off, I'll be greeted, but what would it do for the whole place?
I think what it would do is it would, again, obviously for us, we would love it. It would be great. I think what it would do for the players, given what they went through last year, that they played six games, were actually really good in some of the games for periods of it. But if they were to go there you know, maybe even not play particularly well, you know, do enough to get a positive result, as you say, whether that be a draw or whatever, or maybe even a bit of good fortune on your side, but come away with something. I think it would kind of, again, just, it would be another good separation point between last year and this year, because I think it would highlight that there's a system here, there's a way of playing that, yes, it's different and it takes a lot of learning, but it can really yield results. So I think it would be positive that way. I think, I mean, I have no idea how the players feel, but anyone that's competitive, you don't want pats in the back, you want points on the board. And I think I genuinely couldn't really care less how we played in these games this year, but I want results. I think it is going to be extremely difficult. I think Samani's spot on with that. It's a good pot one, but it's still a pot one team. Yeah. If you can go there and get a point, then it moves you on to the next game and it gives you a huge boost. I really just would like to see us be have points on the board this year and move forward. And the bar is quite low for that, so it doesn't even need to be 9-10 points. This isn't 2002, but you know, if we get 5-6 points in this group, then given where we were at last year, I think everyone would look at that and say that there's progress there, and you know, give you a real boost going into next year's Champions League potentially. And then obviously you take from it what you can going into your domestic season as well.
The one thing about Rodgers in his first spell is he was every bit as idealistic as Ange was in terms of how he was going to approach Europe. He said, you know, we were calling, well, I was, maybe some other people weren't, saying about Rodgers being more pragmatic in Europe in terms of how open we were, in terms of the way we played. Ange, you know, just flat out said, I'm going to play the way I play, and, you know, and go ahead in that manner. I think we're at a point now where, as a support, we want Celtic to win playing nice football. We do. But we're at a juncture in Europe now whereby results matter more at this stage. We haven't. Our European record recently has been terrible. There's no dressing that up. It's rotten, you know, in terms of not winning a knockout tie for so long, and then, you know, or how we've kind of fared in the Champions League and even in the Europa League group stages. So for me, points on the board, you know, longer term, he always wants us to play good football, and that's got to be the aim. In this campaign, it's about getting points. It's about getting stuff on the board as much as possible and setting apart the years of kind of turgid stuff, to be perfectly honest, to one side. See if we can qualify for the Europa League from this group. That's what I'm looking for. That is absolute success. That is progress. And that then drops us down to a level where we can test where we are even more going forward. You know, even in January, you know, we might bring in further recruits to kind of go. That's got to be the aim. It doesn't need to be as pretty as we usually want it this season. Well, up until January. We'll review it then.
Just, I think that's a good point you make there, Samani, about, I think it's often forgotten about how gung-ho Rodgers was first time around in the Champions League. And I just kind of, while you were talking there, I looked up a quote that I'd kind of had in my head, roughly what he said, and he said, my philosophy is non-negotiable, we attack. So there you go, that's what Rodgers was saying the last time he was here. And Alan, just when you were making
but,
that point,
but we know about Brendan, and he's still Brendan. Yes. That might change. He'll change that, he's adaptable. You know,
I just when Alan was saying about getting more buy-in from the players as well, I can just imagine Tuesday night we win 2-0 and Rodgers kicks down the dressing room door with a cigar and says, Ange who? And blows smoke on a lot of players' faces that were Ange disciples. But no, it's certainly an exciting prospect, I think. As you say, Samani, third place for me would be, I'd be delighted with that. And then we sort of regroup and go again. Just one more question before we'll finish with a quiz. So Lisa said, how many points do you think is realistically possible from this group? Hail, hail, and keep up the good work. Alan, how many points? I know you kind of floated 5 or 6 there. Do you think that is possible?
Yeah, I think it is, absolutely. I think what you need to do is I think you need to be, you need to really, in that first 3 games, not be entirely out of it, because the game that I think, the games that people will be looking at are Lazio at home and Feyenoord at home, and I understand that, and I would like it if we could get some semblance of, you know, a home record or a fear factor about Celtic Park back, because that is long gone, especially at this level. But I think there is optimism that, and you know, Brendan Rodgers' first time here, I think there's optimism that away from home, you might actually have a bit more joy because you do have that ability to frustrate and you don't maybe have that same pressure. So I think if you can, you know, get something on Tuesday night, I think it would put you in a position where, you know, I think 5 or 6 points is achievable. You know, 2 home wins and a draw away from home would take you 7 points. And I think, to be honest, that would be remarkable. I know people might be thinking, well, you know, we could avoid defeat. I think Atletico Madrid will be very good in this group. I think they'll win it quite comfortably. And if they do that, I think what we always want and what we're quite sometimes unfortunate with is, see if you could just say that Madrid won 6 games right now, that would do the world of good for this group, because it would then mean that there's a real dogfight for second and third. What we don't want is, you know, a position where, you know, they kind of are a bit eachy-peachy, they win the group, but they don't really top it, because then what that can potentially do is then leave the window open for maybe 2 teams. So I think being competitive, I think if you got 7 points, I would be absolutely ecstatic, and I'm not ruling it out. I think Tuesday night will be very instructive. If you can go there, put in a good performance, be really competitive, given that we still are very, very early, I think we've got a lot of levels to go up, I think it could bode quite well. But you are going to have to, you know, ride it through a little bit. That first 4 games, I think it's going to be extremely tough. But if you're in there, if you've got 3 points by kind of match day 4 going into 5, then I think certainly you could finish the group in the high.
I just did, just when you were talking there about the sort of idea of Atletico winning the group, it seems like even when we were really good in Europe under Martin O'Neill, I've always got sort of flashbacks of like, see the, probably in the days before Live Score or whatever, when the score from the other game used to come up on the big screen, and they would always win off for fuck's sake. Like the top dogs were getting beat by the pop 3 or the pop 4 team. Well, more often than not, we were in there, but just a result that kind of spoils things for us. So if we can avoid that, all the good. So Manny, what about you? What do you think is a realistic points total?
I'm loath to kind of predict because it can go either way. That's the thing. But you have to look at the Lazio and the Feyenoord home games, as Alan says. I think if you don't look at them as winnable games, then there's no point in being in the Champions League, to be perfectly honest. So Atletico, you're working under the assumption that they're going to walk away with it. And I think they are, by far, on paper at the very least, the best team in the group. And I would expect them to kind of qualify fairly comfortably. But you're looking at those 2 home games, I mean, you are looking at Tuesday, you know, you're looking at Tuesday to, you know, take a point there. If you get a point there and then you follow that up with a home win going forward, you are in a really good position. So I think Tuesday's really important in terms of setting the tone, but as a target, Lazio and Feyenoord at home is really what you should be aiming to kind of win, take points from.
Definitely, yeah. And as you say, all we're looking for is sort of progress and give ourselves a fighting chance. You don't want to go into, as you say, Alan, match day 3 with a mountain to climb, so to speak. If we could get points on the board early, it means that the time we've got players back, like CCB and other players coming back from injury, we're giving them an opportunity to add to what we already have. And I think that's all we can ask for.
What we really don't want is Europop to be blaring at 20 past 10 or half past 10 on Tuesday night, and a stadium full of Dutch fans lording it over us with some trashy 80s or 90s hit that you'll never get out your head, because that'll ruin the night. But we'll see what happens next Thursday. All being well, I'll be straight here from straight on the recording from the flight, so hopefully it's keeping the party going as opposed to like the later stages of a funeral.
Yeah.
Guaranteed whatever tune is played will be in regular rotation in Brian McManus's Spotify. I was going to say iPod, but that's a wee bit out of date these days.
Yeah, aye. So hopefully you have a good trip, Alan, and bringing us out back with you, as you always say. So we'll finish off. So we'll finish off with a quiz. So the quiz is kind of half focused on Celtic v Dundee and then half focused on Feyenoord v Celtic. So what I'll do is I'll come to you one at a time. So I'll go Dundee question, Alan, Feyenoord question, Samani, and then rotate like that, okay? So, Alan, I'll start with you. Celtic beat Dundee 2-1 at Dens Park in August 1999. Henrik Larsson scored a late winner for 10 men Celtic, but which unlikely hero scored the other goal for Celtic that day?
Johan Mjelby.
Incorrect. I'll pass it over to Samani. He would have been there at the time, but...
I can't remember that game at all. Unlikely hero. 1919. Vidar Riseth.
No, it was Stefan Mahe, but Vidar Riseth got sent off that day. So, on to the
what
next
else
question.
Is new?
Right, so I'll go a Feyenoord question for you, Samani, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How many goals did Henrik Larsson score for Feyenoord in total? And for reference, he played 149 games. We'll see. If you can give an answer, we'll maybe open up to Alan as well. And the closest to the number of goals, we'll get the point. So, 149 games.
Wasn't that many, I don't think. 34.
34 for Sir Manny. Alan?
I'm going to go 42.
That's by on. 42 is... Is that Wikipedia seeing the reflection of your eyeballs?
I would just like to clarify, my eyes have been on the screen the whole time. I was actually going to go 37.
There's a white sort of reflection on your forehead. It's either you've got a very shiny forehead.
That light, mate. That's that big light.
No. Directly in front of you. I can see black text.
I can see the dreadlock reflection on your forehead.
I feel like a magician here trying to show my hands after a trick.
Brilliant. So, 1-0 to Alan. Okay, so we will go for a Feyenoord question for you, Alan, this time. Which former Feyenoord defender did Celtic sign in the summer of 2008? Feyenoord defender. I'll fill the dead air while
Edson Braithwaite.
You know, it was not. Over to Sir Manny.
2008. Feyenoord defender.
Didn't come from Feyenoord directly, but he played there as a youth.
Well, as a youth?
Mm-hmm.
Too late, Alan. He's put his hand up there. Glenn Lovins.
Correct. We're off the mark. So one each, one apiece. Right. So Manny, a Dundee question for you this time. Neil Lennon made his Celtic debut against Dundee at Dens Park in 2000. Who scored the winning goal for Celtic that night? It was a late winner.
Dundee at Dens Park.
November 2000. Again, someone that didn't score a lot of goals for Celtic.
Paul Lambert.
Incorrect. Alan, over to you.
Put a lot of goals for Celtic. Paul and Healy.
Incorrect, it was Didier Agat. You might remember the goal, it was like a header on like the line, basically.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, Alan.
Very Brendan Rodgers-esque there. Okay.
Okay, see you in a bit. is a Dundee question for you, Alan, is that right? Yeah, because you had the Lovins one.
Yeah.
On Boxing Day 2012, Celtic travelled to Dundee in what was famously dubbed the Dundee Riots. You might remember that one. Samaras scored an overhead kick, but who scored the other goal for Celtic that night? And we're wearing that white, that beautiful white kit.
I'll go Derek Reardon.
Incorrect. So, Mary, over to you.
Gary Hooper.
Correct. Well done. Someone who's been in the media this week for his performance in the 60s. So 2-1 to Sir Manny. Okay. So, oh, no, I'll do it again. Right, Sir Manny, we're going back here for a Feyenoord question for you. So from the 1967 Lisbon Lions team, there were four changes made for the 1970 final against Feyenoord. How many can you name? So do you give me a number first and then we can offer it out to Alan. So four changes were made.
What do you mean? How many can I name in terms of...
So if you say I could name two of them, for example, and if Alan can better that, we'll see what we go with.
Just drawn a total blank. He's got Wikipedia up, by the way. He's got the 1970 final up on his phone.
Well, in fact, let's just see what we'll do is, in fact, I'll just offer this out to you. So, man, just tell me if there's any you can name and we'll give it points for pair one. The sort of high profile one who Christopher Gallagher mentions quite regularly on the Cynic.
That doesn't mean anything. He mentions an awful lot.
That's true.
Pick a wrestler, somebody.
was it Ric Flair that played for something? was that? That would have been too early for Dalglish. I'll say Dalglish.
No, Dalglish hasn't won. Alan, do you want to give me any of them? Or you can think of any of them?
I think I'm out, Barry. You've shamed me, mate.
Okay, so...
Will I try another one?
Have a
Davy Hay.
Correct. Okay, so I'll give you the point for that. So, Alan, you sure you don't want to have a pot shot?
No, I don't want to try one from Rangier.
Okay. Andreas Tom's going to try one here. So
that was my second guess.
Evan Williams was a goalkeeper. Davy Hay, as you mentioned, Jim Brogan and John Yogi Hughes, who I believe missed a sort of gilt-edged chance, and I don't think Steen ever forgave him after that. So Manny's 3-1 ahead. There's two questions left each. So, Alan, what was the score the last time Celtic played Dundee? Bearing in mind they weren't in the league last year or the top six, so... Going into sort of early 2022.
Well, hammered them the opening game at noon. Go. I've been at Celtic Park again. It'll be a big scoreline, hopefully. I'll go for a 3-0.
Incorrect, Sir Manny. It was quite a pivotal moment in the title race.
Ah, fuck off.
You remember now, Alan?
Sorry, I thought I was in mute, aye.
I can't. 2-1.
Incorrect. Alan, do you want to come back in if you've remembered?
1-0.
No, it was not. It was 3-2. Jackie Marcus scored a hat-trick.
So went 2-0 up, that.
2 each, then 3-2.
I remember it now.
I just remember the late goal. It's good to know that I managed to get two incorrect in one question as well. I think that's a Cynic first as well. So really hitting the heights here.
Right, and last question, Sir Manny. What was the score? Oh no, sorry, I'm reading that again. Feyenoord defeated Celtic 3-2 in a Lisbon Lions testimonial in January 2003. Which ex-Celt scored against Celtic that night for Feyenoord?
What year?
2003.
Van Hooydonk.
Correct. Okay, so Samani has run away with that quiz 4-1. But well done for taking part. I think I maybe them a wee bit difficult.
Taking part.
It's not suspicious at all that I managed to get Henrik Larsson's exact number of goals for Feyenoord and then couldn't name one other Celtic goal scorer or scoreline for the rest of the quiz. That doesn't help my case, does it?
No, I think you used up all your good fortune with that answer.
All my data.
But no, thank you. This has been really enjoyed this tonight. And as we say, a lot to look forward to with the home game on Saturday and then obviously the trip that you'll be making, Alan. So I think we'll finish off there. Alan, thank you for tonight.
Yeah, thanks very much, mate. We've managed to get through another international break, so all the better. Can't wait for it to come back.
So Manny?
Brilliant. Good for me to turn up on the right place, the internet, to get this recorded, but enjoyed that.
Thanks very much. So this has been the Cynic Weekly. I've been your host, Barry Gallagher, with Alan Edgar and Chris Lamani, and we'll speak to you down the road.